Track 8. Norfolk Wildlife Trust Ambassador Nick Aitchison tells the truth about non-native species.
Thou shalt not like non-native species. If there were 10 commandments for being a naturalist, this would surely feature among them. Or would it? Do we dislike all non-native species equally? What of rabbits, long held to have been introduced by the Normans, but most likely brought here by the Romans? Do we dislike them, as they graze sand dunes and Brecks grassland, and scuff the ground, creating habitat for rare solitary bees and annual plants? What about hares, introduced in the Iron Age? We love them, don't we? And grey squirrels, introduced in the Victorian period. If you're a forester, a gamekeeper, or a farmer, you may hate grey squirrels and, quite hopelessly, wish them eradicated from the Norfolk landscape. But if you live in the centre of Norwich, their bright-eyed presence in the little park at the end of the street may be a rare link to the wild. We're similarly selective when it comes to plants. Who can begrudge Oxford ragwort, introduced to the Oxford Botanic Garden in the late 1600s, spread widely along clinker railway lines in the Industrial Revolution? And Mexican fleabane, growing in the mortar cracks of old walls in our cities and towns, where none of our native plants could survive? Or Buddleia Davidi, feeding butterflies and hoverflies in forgotten railway sidings. Should we dislike them, too? Thou shalt not like non-native species which are intrusive and aggressive. Perhaps that would be a better commandment. One of the reasons many of us dislike Egyptian geese is the very fact that they are brash, so very un-British. Our flocks of winter geese, pink feet, white fronts and brents, inhabit the wild marshes of our coast. Their calls are evocative of the great journeys they undertake to reach us from Iceland and Siberia. And their departure in spring reminds us of our place in nature's great ebb and flow. Egyptian geese, by contrast, have two common calls. One is like a death rattle, and the other, given when the birds are interacting, sounds like a braying jackass. Egyptian geese are very disposed to interaction, excited and aggressive, so this is often heard. They spread their wings and run at one another on long pink legs, braying demonically the while. An Egyptian goose's wings, a geometrical pattern of black, white, chestnut and metallic green, seen spread from behind, are decidedly its most flattering angle. Its face, though, expresses its personality. It looks like a bruiser. Its bill is an insipid pink, blotched with grey, and around its beady yellow eyes a sinister smudge of orange-brown. It has a messy mane of slightly longer, somewhat speckled feathers down the back of its neck, and a dirty collar like the stain where a wet-bottomed mug has stood. The Egyptian goose is the Bill Sykes of the bird world. In spite of all this, and in spite of the commandment to hate them, I love Egyptian geese. I love them especially in January when they start to breed. Hailing from Africa, Egyptian geese have a much earlier breeding season than our native waterfowl, with females from the earliest pairs laying their eggs in January. The first chicks are often seen by the start of March. Whereas adults are misshapen and hard to love, newly hatched Egyptian geese are adorable. They have the same clean pattern of dark above and white below as a hatchling shell duck, but where a shell duck chick is black and white, a newly hatched Egyptian goose is milk chocolate brown above. An Egyptian gosling's air of innocence is heightened by a fine white brow, emphasizing its sparkling black eye. Add the fact that these diminutive fluff balls hatch high in tree holes and have to hurl themselves to the ground before ever eating a mouthful, and you have Disney-grade cuteness on your hands. The first Egyptian geese recorded in the UK seem to have been in the menagerie of King Charles II in St James's Park. And by the 18th century, small numbers were apparently to be found breeding wild in parks. Norfolk has always been the UK's stronghold of the Egyptian goose, with Holkham its heartland. Indeed, until some 20 years ago, more than half of the UK population of an estimated 800 birds was found around Holkham. For decades, the population barely grew. Limited, it's been suggested, by the chicks hatching when conditions in the UK were still too cold for them. Perhaps climate change, our trend towards shorter, milder winters, has recently favoured the Egyptian goose, as the British Trust for Ornithology now estimates a UK population of 3,600 birds, more than four times as many as two decades ago. The Egyptian goose is now found widely across the UK. In the same way, rose-ringed parakeets, natives of parts of Africa and much of the Indian subcontinent, are spreading into Norfolk too, and can be seen at a winter roost on the edge of Norwich. It's thought that the spread of this species, long restricted to South London, has also been facilitated by climate change. In this damaged world that we have made, we do not have the right to judge some species as good and some as bad, when their presence results from our own clumsy decisions. It's we who have bought Mandarin ducks, Canada geese, little owls, Himalayan balsam, edible frogs, Oregon grape and Japanese knotweed to live here. And it's we who have unhinged our climate to such an extent that our landscapes and biodiversity will inevitably suffer great change. Our job is not to judge wild species for being where we put them. It's to throw every last shred of ingenuity we have into saving and restoring wild landscapes and reversing the climate crisis so that wild species, Egyptian geese among them, continue to grace and enrich all our lives for centuries to come.